Give your Bibles, if you have it, to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. And we're going to cover one whole verse this morning. Woohoo! It's funny, it's just going through. This is one of those things, you know, Chris mentioned the idea of this world's not our home. And Peter really tries to bring that home as he starts going through this book. And he talks about really sort of the battle of the mind here in verse 13. I'll go ahead and read this. It says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And I can't help but think that part of the big battle that we are in is really the battle of our minds, the battle of our thoughts. Just real quick, I don't know if I should do a show of hands. I don't know if that's good or not. You can do it if you want to. How many of you guys within the last month have watched the news, which is probably your first mistake, but you watch the news, you see what's going on in the world, and you scratch your head and do not understand it at all? Have you ever had one of those moments in the last month? Things have just been upside down. And I am amazed that, and I'm bad. I'm real bad. So don't do what I do. If I'm online, I'll read a news article and I go down and read the comments. Do not read the comment section. If you love your blood pressure, don't read the comments. Because I am amazed at how, I want to say crazy, but that's not really a nice way to say it. Maybe by second service I'll have a better word. And the people who are going along with it, and makes your head explode, doesn't it? And you're like, whoa, what happened? And I know, especially as a Christian, I mean, I grew up in church, and hearing messages of a warning of where this country was going, and we're like, yeah. And then we see things change, right? Prayer being taken out of the school. That now, even, the mention of God being removed time and time again, that you can't say these things. I was a pastor of a church, and there was a teacher who was put on disciplinary action because she was praying in the teacher's lounge. She bowed her head. She had her lunch. She wasn't even praying out loud. She just bowed her head and prayed, and it made some of the other teachers uncomfortable that she was doing that, so she was told to stop. And, of course, she's, wait a minute, I have a right to do this, and I'll talk to a lawyer. And they backed down on that because she pushed back, because she does have the right to do that, right? But it is funny how all of a sudden things that just weren't that long ago, as Nancy said, I'm not that old, right? No, she didn't say that quite that way, but right, even in my lifetime of things that were wrong, I was told was wrong, that everyone agreed to was wrong, that now is acceptable and now is supposed to be right. And we see this slide taking place. And I imagine for the early church, it was that way. I mean, the Roman government was not a very comfortable place for Christians. The morality was horrid. We see life was valued very little during that period of time. And all these things, and the Christians now are being persecuted as they're fleeing through that in you, there's that reminder, this world is not our home, and we can't think like the world does. And for this message, I started to go down through and look at all the passages that talk about and warn about the world's wisdom and philosophy versus godly wisdom and philosophy. And I just found so many verses. I ended up with 40, 50 verses I was going through. And I said, well, I could sit here all service and just read verses that were talking about this battle. Let me just start, because I think a lot of people who are struggling sort of with that mind battle that's going on, Paul tells the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 8, says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Just do a quick little test this past week. How often were your thoughts true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good, virtuous, and praise? Right? I mean, that's, and I found myself, you know, struggling with, because whether you're on Facebook or whether you're watching the news or even now talking with your neighbors, I mean, the conversation is kind of what's going on. I just stopped in at a yard sale yesterday, and the conversation quickly turned to what's going on and the anxiety and the angst. And I had a conversation with another lady, and she says, I feel so isolated. She goes, I have no one in my life. I have not talked to anyone for 2 months. And she goes, I'm going nuts. And her words was, we weren't designed to be this way. And it's so easy to listen to what's going on and for our minds to slide into things that don't line up with us, that aren't lovely, that aren't pure. And yet we're told this is what we should be thinking. The majority of our brain power should be towards this, and not towards the angst of this world. And so the world's bombarding us all around with its philosophies, with its ideas of what's the latest and greatest, of what's acceptable and what's not, and it's ever-changing. And just from verses, remember I told you I had like 40-some verses. Real quick, I wanted to take a look, because the Bible makes a clear distinction between earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. You know, I kind of cringe every once in a while. I'll hear, well, Christians are anti-science. No. Actually, I was going to be a science teacher. That's what I went to school for. I was biology education. I love science. Science is not anti-Bible. But the problem comes in, and earthly wisdom comes in, is when we look at these things and you remove God from that equation, and then you're trying to have things make sense without that. And that's where worldly wisdom comes in, right? They look at the facts, and I'll agree with the facts, but it's how you interpret it. And what you do with those facts, they become distorted because you've removed God from that. And just real quick, I've got a couple of verses here. I'm just going to kind of bounce right through them. It says, see that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceits, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Be careful, Christian. We don't get caught up in the world's thoughts and ideas of what they pursue, that this is our traditions. Be careful of that. 1 Corinthians 2:6 says, yet among the mature I do impart wisdom, although it is not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. You listen to the talking heads on TV, and they're spouting off the latest wisdom in the sermon and how smart they are, and they are foolishness according to God. Of what they say couldn't be more against what the scripture says. The Bible says, let every man be a liar, God be true. But God's word is, and I think that's where Christians become a threat to this world system, because the Bible doesn't change. They want to rewrite it. They want to retweak it, right? It doesn't line up with where we are. It's old-fashioned. And so anyone who holds to the scriptures, we're going to be old fuddy-duddies. We're going to be old-fashioned. We'll be obsolete. And God tells us, look, the wisdom of this age is going to fade. They're doomed, according to 1 Corinthians. Later on in that same chapter, it says, and we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. One thing that's really hard for me to sometimes understand, because I grew up in church. You know, I grew up in Sunday school and hearing the lessons and growing up and hearing sermons. I grew up in this environment. And so sometimes it's hard for me to get my brain wrapped around people who have no foundation at all. And so, you know, have you ever taken the time to explain what the Bible says about something to someone? And it seems so clear. And they look at you like you got a third eye. right? They don't get it. I've tried to explain the gospel, that we are sinners. And God has to punish that sin. And so he sent Jesus Christ, his son, to die for that sin. And all you have to do is accept that forgiveness of sin. And he will forgive your sins. And you go to heaven when you die. A very simple, I mean, it seems very simple. And yet, time and time again, I've explained it. And they look at you, and I don't get it. Why? Because we need to realize that they are spiritually dead. They are blinded by the God of this world. And they don't have that spiritual discernment that we have, not because I'm so smart, but because I have the Holy Spirit in me. So the Holy Spirit helps me to understand these spiritual truths that the world doesn't have. So in a way, we shouldn't expect the world to understand, even though we might explain it. And lastly, Paul tells Timothy, there we go, says, "Oh, Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge." And I can't help but thinking this is so much what I'm hearing, you know, from all the commentators and all the philosophers, the sociologists, all these ones out here who are trying to tell you that wrong is right. You know? I remember listening to a psychologist who was talking about how children are born perfect and we mess them up as parents. And so if you discipline your child, you're messing them up. Well, wait a minute. That's not what the Bible says. Actually, the Bible says, what? We're born sinners. Right? Little kids are not perfect little angels. They're little sinners that need the Lord. And the Bible says to train up a child, not just let a child go, but train them in the way they should go. And so here are two totally opposite ideas, and they'll go on and spout about all this wisdom and discernment and how great things are. Let me ask you something, and you guys have been around for a long time. As things have progressed, as we've taken God out and tried to replace with all these other things, just a real quick test. Has things gotten better or have things gotten worse? Just a quick gut check, right? I was talking to a gentleman and he was talking about when he was a kid in school, he goes, you know, big infraction was chewing gum in class, right? Now, you take a look at what takes place in our school system. I talked to a teacher a couple of years ago, and she was frustrated because they had a really unruly child in their class. And she asked the principal, "What can we do?" And this sounds so illogical to me. But he goes, "Well, the kid is out of control. Take the rest of the class out into the hall and let the kid have his temper tantrum. And then when he's done, he'll calm down, and then you can bring the whole class back in." Does that sound logical? And right? And that whole idea, they have studies and everything else, but in these things, it's funny because as Christians, we need to avoid, I love the phrasing here, irreverent babble and contradictions of what the world calls wisdom. Be careful falling into that trap and being sucked into these conversations, because this world's not our home. We're just passing through. As Christians, we're told to guard our hearts. Right? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Guard your heart. Be careful of what you put in it. Be careful. I mean, there are things that I have looked at when I was a teenager that I still, every once in a while, these images will pop into my head. Now, I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. My little yellow piece of paper. I had to go home this morning and get this again. Because my wife told me last night, she goes, "Don't forget your little piece of paper." I won't. Come on, I'm not a little kid. I forgot it this morning, right? And yet there are images and things that I had done so many years ago that still are in here. I'm glad none of you have that problem. Be careful of what you put in. Guard your heart. I think one of the most sinister lies that Satan puts out there in this world is just go out and try it. They tell our young people, just experiment, just try it. No, because once you put something in, it's got a hold. And we are surrounded by all of this, everywhere. Right? I mean, we live in a world where we can walk around with the whole world in the palm of our hands. Now, what's really scary is we turn around and hand this to our young people who, if you're not careful, there's no checks or balances of what they're looking at and what's coming in. Or I was talking to one gentleman, and he was like, oh, I wouldn't let my kid watch that. He goes, but I'm an adult. I can handle it. Right? Be careful. We are bombarded with lies and things that are contrary to the Word of God. The world is this spirit of antichrist, of things that's moving away from the things of Christ, and we're accelerating. I'm amazed at just within the last year how quickly things have accelerated in things that are against God. And I think, I don't know about you, but it's caught me, I say, off guard. And Christians are scrambling. We have the media that's all around, that's bombarding and has an agenda. You know, watch the news. Well, actually, don't. Watch the weather. Even that's not even right half the time, right? I mean, it was funny because have you ever been involved? Because people will say, well, yeah, you know, the media isn't really biased. Until you get involved in that, I'll talk about, was it 2 years now, Marissa, who passed away in town here? Now, Belfast had a rally or whatever you want to call it there, a demonstration there, and it was, people were yelling and screaming, and it was really, and they had a handful of people there. Bangor had one as well, and there was some yelling and people were angry and all that. There's one here in town. There's probably about 500 people here in town who came out, and it was done respectfully, and it was wonderful, and I got an opportunity to be a part of that. And it was funny because we went home and watched the news. We saw new cameras there, and we were watching the news. And I was waiting to see, you know, because you might on TV, you know. And a little vain, I guess. And so we were watching, and on the news, all they showed a clip. They said that there was a few people showed up in Stockton Springs. What? And they showed a little clip of the crowd here, and then they showed people yelling in Belfast. They showed people yelling in Bangor. With very little about what was going on here. And I was like, what? Right? Because it didn't fit what they wanted to say, and so they were fine. And so be careful. The media is anti-God in so many different ways. And it's twisting things, presenting things in a certain agenda. Social media. You guys know I haven't been a big Facebook person until recently because of all of these things. And it's horrid. People are mean and nasty and bombarding. And you see, I know some things about people I don't want to know now. Right? And there's such a push. And so much of this is driven because, oh, someone said something and all of a sudden all Twitter blows up. Now, I don't Twitter and I don't tweet and I don't twat and I don't know all those things. I don't get involved in all that. But you know, all of a sudden now, because someone uprises and people are apologizing for innocent comments they made, and people are doing their things from years past, and it's just this mob mentality because these phone things that connect us all, the computer connects us all, and so we get this instantaneous outrage. Be careful. Our entertainment system are so driven and pushing an agenda that you can't watch almost any. And even now, it's like, you know, we're very cautious of what we watch. But now it's, you know, the other day, you know, we're like on Hulu and we watch some shows on Hulu, and the shows we watch aren't necessarily bad. But now my wife's like, because we're cheap, And so we don't pay for the non-commercials. And my wife's like, we're going to have to pay the extra to get rid of, either get rid of it or get rid of the commercials, because the commercials are horrible. You can be watching a wholesome Little House on the Prairie, and then they go to one of the most raunchy commercials just to push that. Right? And let alone with kids' entertainment now, pushing agendas in our education system. Our education system, at the root of it, is anti-God. It's anti-God. I'm sure many of you, you know, would turn around and say, you know, in school we learned the Ten Commandments. Or, you know, even the Pledge of Allegiance. Now people are offended because the under God is mentioned in that. I can't tell you the heartache I have right now. You know, talk about sort of the media. This morning I was watching, and now the big thing is for kids' sports programs. These kids are taking the knee over the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, when I was a kid, if we didn't stand up for the pledge, the teacher, I remember one male teacher, you know, I get a smack in the back of the head. Stand up. Hand on your heart. Right? And those things are gone. Be careful, because these things bombarded. And what happens is it starts molding our thoughts. It starts molding our ideas. And we need to be cautious of that. Because if we're not careful, it does. It will sweep us up. And today we have the church of today is so corrupted by the philosophies of the world. And it's diluted the word of God. We need to realize that the minds of the God of this age has blinded who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. That Satan blinds the eyes of the unsaved. The Bible says in the last days there'll be a strong delusion to believe a lie. Even so, Jesus says, so much shall, if possible, the fool the elect. That everything's going to be turned upside down. We're seeing that. We're in that process of that. I believe that we're in the last days. I think the clock is ticking. Unless there's a great revival in this world, I don't see how the world comes back. The thing is, church, are we going to be slid down with it? In Romans it tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world. And that's what's happening right now. There's so much pressure to conform and do what the world is doing. To join the latest political movement. To join in with the latest protests. To go into the latest fad that's going around. To jump in and to be so awake or woke, as they say, right? To be so socially conscious. To be just like them so we are liked by them. Christian, don't be fooled by these things. Don't let the world conform us. Don't be squishy. But be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. And that's what Peter's talking about here. Yes, I'm going to get back to Peter. But in this, to have our minds transformed by the Word of God, to know what He says, and to stand on it. Peter says here, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, I had a picture of a, you know, because there they had a robe, and they would gird up. So, you know, you got a long robe on, you can't really run around, you can't do all those things. Years ago, for our vacation Bible school, I dressed up as a pharaoh, right? So I had a dress, and I had this, I forgot what, it's not a skirt, my daughter called it a skirt, but there's a manly name for it, I don't know what it was, but it was like down to here, and so I was trying to run with the kids, and it was, ladies, I don't know how you do it, and so they would have the robes, and what they would do is they would take it and pull it between their legs and wrap it around them and tie it up, and it basically almost make like a big diaper look like. And but it would get it out of the way so you were able to go and be able to do without being entangled up. And that's the verbiage he uses here. Actually, I have a picture. I had a picture of a guy girding up his loins. And my daughter was like, Dad, don't put that on there. So I spared you that. But the idea is to hike it up, to be prepared, to be ready for action. Christian. Peter is telling this church during these persecuted times to be alert, to be prepared for the battle that we are in. And unfortunately, so many Christians are ill-prepared. They don't know what they believe. They don't know why they believe it. And really, the solution is to be in the Word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joint and marrow, and be a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." That the Word of God becomes that mirror. Any issue that's going on, say, "Lord, what do you say about this?" Right? Not what the pastor says about it, or what does the latest politician say about it, or what does the latest philosopher say about this? What does the latest news person say about it? No, God, what do you say about it? That should be our first gut reaction. God, what do you say about this? You know what? The Word of God says a lot of things about a lot of things. And we can have clarity of thought by hanging on to the Word of God. It's quick and it's powerful. It's living for today. Genesis chapter 3, it all started. Satan knows how to use the Bible. It says this, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden?'" See, what Satan wants you first to do is doubt. Is to doubt it. Does it really say that? Does it really mean that? And we've really gotten to a point where there's so many churches that will twist the Word of God to make it say what they want it to say. Will neglect parts of it, emphasize small parts to make it say what they want it to say. That's Satan's trick. When Jesus tempted Jesus, did God really say this? And then the second part, he gets more bold. He says, look, he says, "And the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die.'" God had said you will, but he says God's a liar. "For God knows that the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." He'll take the Word of God and he'll twist it. He'll make you doubt it first. Doubt what you know is right. And then he'll be blatant and ask you to deny it. To turn your back on it. And that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. And Satan hasn't learned a new trick. He's been doing the same thing ever since. Gird up your loins of your mind. Know right from wrong. Know what the Bible says. Be prepared, because the battle is now. I believe more so than any time in history. I shouldn't say that. I'll say my history. Right? I think more so now that really the lines are clear, especially for us as Americans. I think for so long we were able to have a foot in both worlds. And I think truly we're in a day and age where we're going to have to take sides. I want to be with Joshua. It says, "For me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then it says, "Be sober." Be sober. Now, this isn't a call not to be drunk. Well, that'd be a different sermon. But in here, to be aware, to be serious. Ephesians ties in this as well. It says, "Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." That dissipation is debauchery, sinfulness, wasteful living, however it's translated in several different Bibles. Redeeming the time, as we look at the calendar, we look at the clock of God's timing, I believe we're towards the end. How are we going to spend that time? Are we going to be partying and celebrating and going along with everything? Or are we going to be sober-minded? Be sober-minded. Be alert. Using the time that we have. Jesus said this way, "Watch therefore, for you know not neither day nor hour which the Son of Man is coming." I remember when my parents would leave the house as I was a kid. Actually, you know, I don't even have to go back that far. I do this with my wife. My wife leaves the house. I ask her what time she's coming home. Right? Especially when I was a kid, my parents would leave. What time are you coming home? So I can get everything back in order. I haven't changed much. I still do that, you know, at the house today, you know. Oh, hon, where are you going? I'm going to Bangor. Oh, how long you be gone for? All right, I'm going to be gone. Oh, should be gone for 3 hours. All right. How much can I destroy and put back together in 3 hours so you'll never know? Don't laugh. You guys do it the same way, right? If we knew when the Lord was coming, you know what we'd do? We would kick back, relax. We got plenty of time. We got plenty of time. But because we don't know, we're called to be sober. We're told to be alert. Because what if the Lord came back today? What would we be caught doing? If the Lord came back today, how faithful have we been? We still have time to work, to go and do. Be sober, be vigilant, be careful. Because our adversary, the devil, is walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be alert. Satan is on the prowl. Right? What is behind all of this that's going on in the world today? I believe that, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's a spiritual war that's taking place. And it is literally dragging this world to hell. Christian, wake up. Be aware. Stand on the truth. Don't follow the tricks of Satan. Lastly, in verse 13, it says, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Rest your hope fully. Christian, I want to implore you, be sold out for Jesus Christ. Don't be wishy-washy. Know and find out what is right, and then do it. Find out what the truth is, then stand on it. I can't help every time I think of Peter. I think he would put it this way. Get out of the boat. Right? You know the story. Peter on the ocean, out on the sea. Jesus is walking on water. Jesus, if that's you, let me come out. And Peter had to make the decision. Jesus, come on out. He had a decision to do. Do I get out of the boat? Get out of the safety that you're in. Get out of the comfort zone that you're in. Because the times demand it. The end is near. Satan is on the march. We see this in the world today. What we need is Christians who are going to stand up for the truth. Christians who will get out of the boat, if you will. It's scary walking on the water. I bet it is. But give me Jesus. Right? And God has called us to be lights in this darkness. And as the world gets darker, Christians, we need to shine brighter. Because there are people who are still lost. There are people who are looking. And we need to give every opportunity to give a reason for the faith that's in us, we're told. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lord, I want to be sold out for you. I want to trust in you. Not with one hand, but two hands. Lord, I just want to grab on and see what you have in store for us. Because we can't be double-minded. The book of James tells us the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I'll tell you, when my wife and I met, I wasn't living for the Lord. I was going through my own rebellion, and I don't know if my daughter knows this. I had a long, dangly earring, big old cross. Actually, we were up in Holton at that point, and I was, like I said, I was rebellious, and I tried. At that point in time, I couldn't find any place in Holton that would pierce my ear. I had to go to Canada because none of the places would pierce a guy's ears. how far we've come. So I had to go to Canada and get an earring, and I would have this long dangly earring. And my wife told me, she goes, "You were kind of schizophrenic." She goes, "Because I'd be sitting there and we'd talk about worldly things, and I'd have that earring in." That was my rebellion, my sign of my rebellion. And I'd have that in, and I would, she goes, "Man, you'd be talking with all the world and joking around and doing all those things." And she goes, "And all of a sudden, when you start talking about God," because she was a Christian, a strong Christian. And she goes, "Well," she talked about God, and she goes, "When you talk about God," she goes, I didn't even know I did. I'd take my earring out. And she goes, "And you would talk Bible, and you were right on with that." She goes, "You were a schizophrenic. You were trying to walk both worlds." And maybe, you know, if you ever walked away from the Lord, nothing is more miserable than a backslidden Christian. Because you have the Spirit of God within you, and you know what's right. I grew up in church. I had no excuse. I knew right from wrong. I knew the Scriptures. And yet I was choosing to live in the world, rebel, and try to take what the world had to offer. And I was of men most miserable. Because the issue comes down to this: no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God or mammon. Mammon here, just talk about the world system, it's talking about stuff. And the call and the alert today is for Christians, pick a side. Pick a side. The hour demands it, to rise up. Real quick, I got some things for you to think about. The first one, get in the Word. Know what the Bible says. You know, we use the daily breads out there and try to encourage people to be in the Word daily. Read something every day. You know, today there's so many resources online that can get you in. Or just be old-fashioned and pick up the book and read it. Read through it. You can easily, there's programs out there. You want, need one, let me know. You can read through it in a year. Simple, if you want to go down, just, I'll tell you, it'll really change your life. Pick up the Proverbs and read one proverb a day, the wisdom of God. Just read a proverb a day. And it will change you because you'll see things from God's perspective. The book of Ephesians talks about the washing of the Word. Cleanse away the garbage of this world by washing in the Word of God. Second one, redeem the time. Use your time. If you're just planning out your schedule, how much of your day is devoted to things of God? How often are you praying, thinking, doing? You know, all you social media people, I want to encourage you. For every post that you put that's on politics or something else, I challenge you to put two posts about God. There's a challenge. Whether a verse or a prayer or something. I mean, there's so many things out there. But, right? We can spend a lot of time in the things of this world. We're so consumed with the things of this world that folks, oftentimes we have no time left over with things of God at all. And lastly, be a Jesus fan. The word fan is from the word fanatic. Right? And the thing that comes to mind is, you know, all you sports fans, right? You have shirts, you have bumper stickers. People have tattoos. People are so caught up in their sports. They know the stats, right? There are guys who can name every, you know, baseball player on their team, but can't even name two apostles of Jesus. Right? Do you see the... We need people who are sold out for Jesus, who are committed. Right? That who are opportunity to come to service says, "Here am I, Lord, use me." When the church doors are open, they're the ones who are here. Faithfulness, devotion. I'm sold out for Jesus. Because we are. We're truly in a battle of the mind. It is taking place today. Our young people, we're losing them to the world's ideas and thoughts. There's so many churches that will go down that road. It leads to destruction. Folks, let's stand firm on the Word of God. Be sober. Be alert. Be ready. Because we're in those times, folks. We're in those times. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you call us to charge. Wake up the church, Lord. Wake up your body. Wake up your bride. To help us stand firm in these evil days. To do what is right. To serve you no matter the cost. Lord, help us to be in the Word and help the Word be in us. Help us do it. To not just hear it, but Lord, to do it. To have an impact on our lives and to let our light so shine before men. We ask you to do this in your mighty name.